Hi and welcome to episode 144 of Extreme PC UK podcast. I'm your host Nick, also known as Extreme PC UK everywhere. And today on the show we have...
Great Gamer 25, I'm here, I'm always here.
I am Megal from Hell.
And I'm Claxon.
Hi, how is everybody today? How is everybody in the chat? How was that intro? Did you all like that intro? Very professional.
Oh, God.
And if you was here to see it, you'll know why. If not, you need to go back and watch Twitch because that was a right whole palaver. Right, how is everybody? It's good to see everybody in here. I can't believe how many people are in here. There's 31 people in here, and it's probably the worst ever intro we've ever done on the stream. But it was quite funny. Cheers for all the bits and cheers for everybody that's come in and they've sent subs in and stuff like that. It's going to be a good show, I feel. Even though, I've got to be honest, I've got a confession to make. I'm so addicted to Elite Dangerous that I haven't played anything. I haven't done anything. I've done 190 hours in 2 weeks on Elite.
That is a lot. That is a lot.
Wow.
I've done a bunch,
but
not that much.
It's going to be even more funny if you go back like a month or two and listen to a podcast then.
Yeah, it's going to be even more funny. You need to move your mic just a little bit away, Hans, because you're a bit huffy-puffy on that mic.
There we go.
Yeah, that's cool. But yeah, I'm well addicted. I've gone down a rabbit hole and I'm stuck. And you lot can't deny. You can't deny that you've done the same thing.
Oh, yeah. I'm closing in on 1,400 hours.
I like the way Claxon's like, I dabbled. He was like, I go back to work, I'm not going to be on this computer anymore. So it's nice knowing you, boys. And then he slowly snuck back in over and over again.
Very.
And then he got on the podcast somehow. But he was going away.
Yeah.
But anyway,
it's just a slippery slope, right?
Yeah, it's a very slippery slope. But next thing you know, your missus has kicked you out. You're on your own. You got no computer. She's put her foot through it.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that. I'm kind of prepared mentally.
Mentally for your computer to be broken in front of you. Irish Guardian, cheers
prepared for that,
dude. Appreciate that, man. Right, let's get into it. So the first thing I wanted to talk about just quickly is it's getting to near the end of the road for Scooby's PC build. Now, Scooby's not on today, but he's actually been doing live streams over the last couple of days, building the computer. This is the Elite-themed PC. He's going to be giving that away to one lucky winner in our Discord. It will be sometime at the end of the month, but I'm going to leave that down to him. We'll have a chat about it, and then everybody get updated as it happens. So don't worry, it won't just disappear and be like, oh, we gave it to someone. It'll all be announced, everything will be going on. But all you got to do, if anybody wants to win an Elite-themed PC, all you got to do is get into our Discord, go into the Scooby room and say hello, or I like the PC, or whatever you want. Go back over it. You can see the whole history in there of what he's done to it. And if you're lucky and you get this soon, you'll be able to watch him do a few more live streams on it, I should think. But yeah, it's coming together. It's crazy. And it's all funded by Scooby. He's going to be sending it off. It's all going to be done by Scooby. So Scooby, want to say a massive shout out to you, dude. And thanks for like all your time and effort you've put into this, because it has been a crazy build and some lucky bastard's going to get it. And we're all exempt. We can't do it.
I'm just curious. Can you archive like whole chats in Discord? The reason I was asking that is because his is so good from beginning to end. Mm. It'd be great to just, you know, keep it for posterity so we know like what went on with the whole computer.
I'm sure you probably could do something like that.
I think we should look into it.
There's a way.
I'm surprised Gray's not been documenting it already in an Excel spreadsheet.
I tried, but it's too big.
He could also do it in a YouTube video. He likes to link those.
To anyone that doesn't know, anything we do in life, Gray categorizes it and he puts it into different folders and he prints it out. And the funniest one of all time that I have to talk about is Elite Dangerous. The funny pirate names. So when you're playing, you come across funny pirate names. And what we do is we normally just like take a screenshot and we put it in the funny pirate names thing. But then Gray took it to the next universal level where he's actually got a spreadsheet of all the names he's collecting. How many you got?
Now it's going on, I think, 120.
120 names.
But here's the thing, though. I started it out innocently figuring, like, how many could there be? Like, 20 or 30? I mean, you know. So I started it when it was only like 30, and then all of a sudden it just keeps growing, and now it's out of control.
Shell says you should release it as a book. We could do that, really. You know? We could make a one-off. We could. I'll tell you what, that's not a bad idea. We could do a one-off magazine about the progress of that computer. I can speak to Jansen about it and speak to Scooby about it and see what people think.
Yeah, because I think we have to preserve it somehow. There's too much good stuff in there not to.
We could preserve it by him sending me the PC and I'll just keep it here.
There you go.
I'll preserve the whole thing.
That's what you're exempt. Wish.
Bossman JC, cheers for giving your wife a gifted sub. Thank you. It's all good.
So Shell says that I remind her of Frank from Vicar of Dibley.
Who's that?
Do you know what? It's funny you say that. The Vicar of Dibley, it's a UK TV show. And it's in like this little, really nice little town. It's actually not far from my house. And that's where I actually go walking. I take the kids there and walk around the whole of the little Dibley village. You can see the church and all the buildings. And it's actually a real working little village. It's not like a set or anything. It's like 10 houses, which is pretty cool.
But this is where you see Frank,
wow,
and he looks like me.
Crazy, man. Mutiny. Cheers for that gifted one-tier sub. And it's gone to McCraw. Nice. Cheers for that, dude.
Does he know it, or is he still, you know, playing Elite?
I know they're all playing Elite. There's like, Elite's gone mental. Like, there's so many people playing Elite every day. We've got teams of four people, and we're having a few teams at a time playing. And the other thing is my stream's gone really big as well. Like, I've been getting like 50 people into my stream playing Elite, which is crazy because I've spent 5 years just playing on my own. Like, I met Shell. Shell, remember when we met? I was just playing, what was it? The theme park. What was that theme park game called? Sorry?
Yeah, theme park. Well,
no, well, not tycoon. That long ago. It weren't theme park. It was one like it.
The tycoon,
whatever
it was.
What's it called?
Roller Coaster Tycoon.
No. Roller Tycoon. Well, yeah,
than that.
Oh.
Okay. Planet Coaster,
that's it.
Planet Coaster.
And I was like just middle of the night playing on my own, one person in my stream, and I was just putting my little swimming pool down and my lights. And then Shell came in and that's how we met. And she started chatting. And then she's been here ever since. Shame you're not on the podcast. We're getting people calling out for you to be back on the podcast.
Well, one thing there though, Nick. We said that to you months ago when you were playing another game. We're not going to name it, but
Cider Bob, cheers for them bits, dude. Right, let's get into this anyway, because we've got a couple of things to talk about. And if anyone's got anything they would like us to talk about, doesn't matter what it is, just say it in the chat and we'll get talking about it. We're up for talking about anything. It's always all good to talk. And as with the PC from Scooby's getting, just make sure you get into our Discord and you go in the Scooby room, drop a message, and that's all you need to do. And that's cool. Right, let's get into some news. Great, what news you got, mate?
The Game Awards have come out, apparently, and there's some nominees for Best Game, obviously, of the year. And apparently, Psychonauts 2, It Takes Two is some nominated. Deathloop has been nominated.
Two. Best Game.
Psychonauts 2 just came out, actually.
It's been nominated. It's not Best Game
nominated.
Yet.
Didn't win yet. Deathloop is also been nominated, and supposedly they're saying that one's going to be the one that's going to win. The amazing thing is the amount of categories they have. Some of these categories, I don't understand why they have so many. It doesn't make any sense to me. But anyway, for Best Game, if you played Deathloop, I know comics played a lot of it. I haven't yet. I do want to get it. They're the ones that did the Dishonored series, the same people that did that. So that's probably pretty good. But we're not going to know the final winners until December 9th. So for some of you out there, I don't know whether you played the games or not or ever heard of them. I don't know if our cast here has heard of them. But
I didn't play him. So.
Yeah, so much for the popularity as far as the games go.
I've played Psychonauts 2. I played the first one, and that came out probably about 3 months ago, and I think it's on the Game Pass. That's a really solid game.
All right, I have to ask you, here's the categories. You tell me whether I'm crazy. They have about, 6, 12, 18, 24, 30 categories. I don't understand where they get 30 categories for best awards. Game of the year, okay, which I told you before. Deathloop, It Takes Two, Metroid Dread, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet and Clank, Rift Apart, and Resident Evil Village.
Yeah.
That's for best game, which is the one anybody ever cares about. But they have all these other ones. Best game direction, best narrative, best art direction, best score and music. Let me know if you want to hear any of these.
Yeah, but the
or
thing
if you want
is,
to know what they
you've
are.
Got to realize they're broken down into these categories because you've got to realize when someone makes a game, could you imagine if you was the guy that was the one doing the piano on a sound clip, yeah?
Oh,
and
no, that's
made
okay.
Some well good sound clip, and then like they go, right, Psychonauts is getting the award. And then you're like sitting there thinking, well, I made that, but I ain't got no.
I agree with you, but for some of these things, like best games for impact, that's a category? The best games for impact.
I'm not even sure what that means. That
I don't know either.
So that means here's the biggest, the game that had the most impact on people. So like,
why would you give an award for that?
Yeah, but
I don't get it.
Because they're just trying to make awards up, I suppose. But like,
yeah, exactly.
Cyberpunk, that would have had a big impact, wouldn't it? That made a big impact on everyone. So
okay, here's another one. How about this best performance? No, did they mean technical performance?
That's for the voice actors or the motion capture.
Okay, well, they should say that then. How about best voice performance? That would make more sense.
But the reason they're doing this is because I don't know if a lot of people know this, but gaming is actually like massive compared to video and film nowadays. It's bigger.
It is.
And so like they're seeing all the film like festivals and all the announcements, all that sort of stuff. So they're trying to bring the same kind of thing, you know?
All right, how about this one? This one's maybe a bit of an oxymoron. I don't know. Best mobile game? That's impossible because there is no good mobile games.
I'm going to refrain from commenting on that, but don't forget, Gray, the mobile gaming market is the biggest game.
I know. And have you played insane, some of those games? So. I mean,
to be fair, I'm not going to lie to you. There's a pool game where you play pool. I can't remember. I think it's called something pool. But every single person I know is on it. And whenever you're sitting there, that's the game that you play. And I've played probably thousands of hours on it. I've got all the achievements on it and everything. And I haven't played it that much. Like, I play it if I'm like somewhere where I'm like on camping and I've got no computer.
Okay, I want to throw this one at you, Nick. What is the best the ones that were named? Now I can talk.
Spit it out.
That then. Were nominated for best VR or AR.
Best VR or AR.
Yeah, what would you think would be on there? There's only five that were nominated.
Yeah, but is it in the last year only?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, within I don't know dates for my stuff.
Well, I'll start out. Hitman.
It's gonna be that. What's it called? Isn't it? It's gonna be that. What was that game from ages ago? They redone it and they done it only in VR.
Half-Life Alyx. That was last year.
That was last year. Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
I think this year should be the Walking Dead game. Maybe I'm not sure. Was it this year?
No.
Could it be the zombies, the Las Vegas game?
That's also last year, I think.
Yeah, no.
Because over here near me, there's a big shopping center called Westfield, and it's the first place I've seen. And you can go there, and it's like it's been done up like a mini theme park sort of thing. It's like a massive, massive front, and you go in there, and everyone gets a VR and a backpack, and you actually go into the game with other VR people, and you play that Las Vegas Night of the Dead or whatever. What's it called?
Night of the Dead.
No, the one with the Vegas where they break in Vegas. There's all zombies there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The movie there.
The recent one.
Yeah,
I can't remember it now. Yeah, I saw it. I just can't remember the stupid name.
And that's the theme of this VR. And you go in there with like six of you as a team. It's about 40 quid. You put your VR on and you run around. You run around in a big warehouse and you're all together and you see each other in there and you're actually in the game. So I was thinking that's probably the best VR thing.
Well, I just want to make
Army of the Dead.
I want to commend you.
That's it.
I want to commend Yodelicious. He said Lone Echo 2. That is one of the nominees. The other is Hitman 3. I Expect You to Die 2. Resident Evil 4. And this one surprised me. Sniper Elite VR. And I love Sniper Elite, but I've heard nothing but bad things about it. And yet it was nominated. So I don't understand.
Yeah, but
that.
It might be. But they've got put 10 nominations in. And there's only five games come out, so they're just going for the five games.
Yeah, VR isn't really catching on yet.
Trust me.
I would have imagined, yeah.
I've been behind a lot of gaming, events and shows and things like that before, yeah? And trust me, you wouldn't believe how unorganized it is. It would probably be like one person and they're like, oh, we need to get 10 people in this category. What are we going to do? And they'll be like, oh, no, I'll just go on Steam a minute. We'll ask them 10. Probably like that. Like it's never done properly. It's always done like quick fire, you know?
All right, let's try a couple others and see if you guys know. What would you say would have been the best role playing game?
The best role playing game? Is that New
Tales
World
of Arise?
Bing, he got one. Tales of Arise is one of them. True. Yeah.
New World.
Nope.
No, that's MMO. That's a different category.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
No, best role playing. I'll give you I can give you one clue with the game that I don't like.
Final Fantasy?
No.
It's going to be Cyberpunk. That's good. They're probably going to.
Cyberpunk is up there, right? Best role playing.
That has RPG elements in it, too.
There's three more. Some I've heard of, some I haven't.
Biomutant.
The Terminator game? Biomutant? And...
No, that's not on the list.
Okay.
Monster Hunter Rise.
Never played that one.
Scarlet Nexus.
Never played it.
I don't even know if I can pronounce this one. Shin Megami Tensei.
Shin Megami Tensei.
Yeah. Five.
I think that's only on the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, because some of these are mixed because it would be PC or, you know, because they're all going on games in general, I guess. How about best fighting game? Want to take any guesses at that one?
Best fighting game.
Best fighting game.
To be fair, we're not fighting game people, so.
Then forget
isn't
that one.
Isn't Double Dragon on there then? From this year?
All right, hold on. Let me look.
I like the way he says it, like he's got the answers. They said, let me look.
No. But Virtual Fighter, Virtual Fighter 5 is on there. Virtual Fighter is a good game. So that's on there.
Double Dragon isn't on there?
No.
It says Capcom Verse.
Oh, check this out. Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl is on there.
Oh, man, that game looks so awesome.
How about Melty Blood, Type Lumina? I don't know what that is.
Never heard of it, yeah.
Hold on a minute. Great. What is your actual news?
That was it. I just went into the categories just because they're funny.
I
wanted to see what you guys. I wanted to see what you guys thought of some of these, but there's so many categories.
Just listing games and going like.
No. These are actual nominees. These are all nominees. There's a million of them, but there's nominees. We can go on to the next story. But I just thought that was a little fun.
I think it's always like that with the nominations. Just trying to, they're trying to make it big. And you've got to realize with COVID as well, everything's gone a bit shit, isn't it? So it's like people are trying to bring things back. Like, look at EGX, what happened? You see what happened to EGX?
Yeah.
Everyone pulled out and the show floor was empty. You get there and there's just things spread out everywhere and everyone was complaining. They paid all the money and it was all spread out, you know?
I wonder if your shows are going to happen this time.
Well, that's what I was just about to say. I was going to say it in my news, but I forgot to say it. So this weekend, and to anyone listening to the podcast back, you might be listening to it after the 20th of November. But 20th of November, it's actually Twitch London. It's the first Twitch London show which has happened, like the get together, since 2019, I believe. So it's been 2 years since anyone's been to a real show. But what we're going to be doing, me, Jansen, as usual, we're going to be going to Vauxhall and we'll be meeting up on the Thamesis dock. It's a boat on the south bank of the river in Vauxhall. Anyone's welcome to meet us there. We'll be stopping and having a few beers till about 5 o'clock. Then we'll be going over to Twitch London. If you want to come to Twitch London, you have to have a free ticket. They're free to get hold of, but you have to go to Twitch London and you have to try and get one. They're normally sold out straight away, but they do re-releases. I do believe if you sign up to their Patreon, you can still get tickets that way, but you're paying for it. Through their Patreon, but if anyone wants to come check it out, because it might be a way to get a ticket, everybody's welcome. Me and Jansen will be sitting in the pub having a few beers, we're having some food, and then we'll go there and then it'll be a party for the rest of the night till about 2 a.m. We'll make sure everybody gets home safely. We'll stick together so you're all safe and that. But yeah, Twitch London's gonna be wicked. If you see us go live on Saturday, it'll be on my phone and I'll go live from the pub just for a bit of fun, so people can chat to us and see what's going on. Look from the view from the boat out into all the city and stuff like that. But yeah, I just thought of that now, so I thought I'd say it. And then the next thing that will be coming up after that will be Insomnia, which will probably be next Easter, so people can prepare for that as well. Right, carry on, Grace. Sorry to butt in there.
Cool. No, that's okay. The next bit of news is just some games that are coming to Game Pass, because they always throw a couple out there that maybe were not in the list originally. But one game I've been waiting to get there is Evil Genius 2, because I've been wanting to play that game for such a long time.
Do you know what I don't understand about that? They're going to bring Genius 2 out on the Xbox Game Pass, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But Evil Genius isn't on the Xbox Game Pass.
I don't know. Good question.
Well, why wouldn't they have the number one so you can play it first, and then so you can see if you like it before you play number two?
Probably because they're going with the most modern that they feel like that attracts.
It's also
people.
Probably something about the rights and stuff. So
could be, yeah.
Yeah, it's just been a while. Silly, isn't it?
It is silly, yeah, and I agree with Nick, though, but yeah.
So that one's coming out towards the end of November. They're also putting in XO1, which I never heard of, but it's an interplanetary exploration game. Also, they're bringing a game called Pedro, and I never heard of My Friend Pedro. That's the name. I never heard of this, but...
Never heard of that game.
No, but then again, somebody was writing and they said that this is one of their favorite games, and they said it brings, I'll quote here, bringing goofy ass antics and a talking banana to a game that brings back bullet time in an explosive fashion.
Yeah, have you not seen it? No. You can't really talk about this game until you play it. If it's the game, because I get that one and another one muddled up. And basically, it's like you're a guy, it's like a platformer, and you do all these funky gun movements, so you shoot all these, like, it's hard to explain. And then there's another section where you're riding a motorbike and you're doing a load of crazy stuff there. And I'd class it more of an indie sort of game. It's a small game, but very fun. I remember Leo had loads of fun in that game, shooting things and trying to get used to the controls. And I think it's got, because I can't remember fully, I remember watching it. I think it's got, like, you know when you fight with the dual sticks and one allows you to look one way whilst you're going backwards and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, like when, I don't know if you ever played this, but do you remember, what was it called? There was a game from years and years ago where you've got, it's a top down, it was like an 8-bit graphics or something. I think it was like, what was it called? I keep getting, you know when you get on the edge of your tongue and then you can't think of what it's called, but one had a bow and arrow and there was like ghosts floating around and you'd shoot them with a bow and arrow. Gauntlet. Do you remember Gauntlet?
Oh, yeah, but that's a really old game, the original one. Or you're talking about the new one. We played that one a few years back in the
podcast. You could move backwards while shooting where you wanted to go. Do you know what I mean? So you can use the left stick to move around, and then you can shoot with your right stick any direction whilst you're moving any direction. That's why I thought of that. But remember, I think, like, quite weird.
You do. But,
cheers for that solid, Bob, man.
Those games are actually out now. The only ones that'll come later is November 23rd will be Deer Simulator and Mortal Shell, and Evil Genius 2 comes out November 30th. But the other games are out right now on Game Pass. So,
oh, cool. We will check them out. What else you got, Gray?
Last piece of news. I didn't even know this, but apparently Windows 11 is making the blue screen of death blue again. I didn't even realize that Windows 11, when you get a blue screen or what we call the BSOD, it's actually not blue, it's black. And apparently a lot of people have been complaining that why are you taking something that's part of pop culture now, because everybody says blue screen of death, BSOD. And so Microsoft has decided they are going to be turning around, and on the next patch, they are going to put back in the proper color for the BSOD.
And Windows 11. I'd be more worried about my computer not breaking, not what color it is when it breaks. But I get what you're saying.
So interesting. I mean, you know, and, but it will and be another, the, it will another be coming. Thing,
just to be picky, blue screen of death, black screen of death. They're the same. It's got the same letters.
That's true.
True.
It's both death.
But they're people gotten riled up and said, "Listen, pop culture, you got to stick with it. Got to turn it back to blue. Do you know what
I'll
turn
it into like a rainbow or something and call it the unicorn screen of death." Just to mess
multicolors.
With Do you reckon someone at Microsoft was just like, "Look, come on, let me have a bit of fun," and they were like, "No, we're not doing it." He's like, "Come on, let me have a little bit of fun," and they're like, "No," and he's like, "I'm gonna make it black screen of death," and then that's it. Just everyone kicks off because it's not blue like it's always been.
What I would have done is use the blue background and then a blue font, so you can't read it at all.
Do it in blue background with just one on that, like that. You know when you get the RGB colors in the codes. Just one digit out from the last one. So it's like, you know, when you look at them pictures and someone says, "Look at it," and you can see a number or something, like to test your eyes. And it's like, you're like, "Oh, I can see it, but I can't see it." Like one of them pictures, you know, where you have to look at it and you see something in it in order.
Oh, yeah. I can never figure those things out, man.
I might know why they changed the color of it. And I think it's because of web accessibility laws. So there's actually color contrast laws that have come into place.
Wait a minute, color contrast laws?
Is that for eyes though?
So they have laws on how colors should be?
Yes, because the contrast on a screen messes your eyes up.
Oh, okay.
No, it's for people with, there's a whole bunch of accessibility laws that have come into place in the last few years. You've probably started to see it in games where they're amplifying accessibility features at the start of the game.
Well, they did that with the whole epilepsy thing with the blinking. They warn you about that all the time. So I guess this is just more of it. Okay.
Yeah, so it's just another form of that, I believe, just to make sure that the text is contrasted with the background and people with visual challenges can still read it.
See, do you know what annoys
me? There you go.
Makes sense.
Do you know what annoys me is when you're installing Windows and it asks you like nothing important, but it asks you 20 irrelevant questions, and you just skip this bit and give me something important to click on.
You should have like a quick install. It's just install. That's it.
really quick
Scooby
install.
Scooby says HP have monitoring firmware in their integrated lights out product that looks for blue screens on servers, and it stops working on a Windows 11. Man, I can't get my words out today. It's all tongue twisted.
That's interesting.
Right. Let's move on. Is there no other news?
Just a little bit. This is kind of interesting. NVIDIA's coming out with an awesome new image comparison tool. But really what it is that they wanted something to compete with AMD's FSR. So they decided to come out with a little program.
What's AMD's FSR first?
AMD's Fidelity FX Super Resolution.
DLSS is just better. There we go. It's like DLSS. There we go.
But like I said, DLSS is better, but they wanted to come out with something that they could put into open source so that everybody could get it because they're following AMD since they did it too. So they decided to put out their own version of a tool that could be used, which apparently is a cool tool. And they're opening up into open source for everybody to use it. So apparently it's ICAT, which is short for Image Comparison and Analysis. And it's supposed to be a simple little program that lets you view a stack of screenshots and recorded videos side by side so that you can line up the frames and see what it looks like from frame to frame and get a comparison of how well it's doing or how well it looks or how well it's
great.
Supposed
correct
to be.
Me if I'm wrong here, but isn't FSR purely for gaming? And this has like nothing to do with gaming, so it's probably not even comparable.
Well, I don't know. They said they also said that they have a little thing called Spatial Upscaler. And that apparently it's in the NVIDIA software, but nobody really knew about this. Or they never went into it take a look. So now they have a separate program, spatial upscaling technique, and you can get it in the NVIDIA software and start playing around with that if you want to get into the real, I guess, nitty-gritties of stuff. But you said they wanted you to know that even though they have a spatial upscaler, it is not as good as, of course, the full DLSS and everything else. It's just another tool that you can go in there and play with if you want to.
There we go.
So okay. I was more impressed with the fact that they actually released it to open source. And of course, again, following what AMD did. So now it just makes it look a little bit better that they're appealing to the public more and putting it out in open source. So any of you guys that want to go out in open source and take a look at this thing, it's there. Check it out. See what you can do with it. That's pretty much it. Or you could just forget it, or you could forget it and sack it and move on to the next thing. I'm for the sacking part.
Claxon, what news you got, mate?
I've got one little item this week, just more of an FYI, but Qualcomm, who make Mobile Snapdragon CPUs, are actually planning to play in the PC market. And if we think about the impact that maybe AMD have had on, you know, kicking Intel up the butt and making their products
more competitive.
Hold on a minute.
They did a couple of weeks back, but I think that's changed.
Let's not go into it.
I don't know about change completely, but yeah.
Come
more
on.
Competitive.
Let's be honest.
That's for sure.
Have Here we go. Here butt? We go.
Oh, you saw Scooby and how he
I'm sure
he
they just brought
it.
Out a CPU that's so super powerful, it's so hot now, because it's just going to melt everything because it goes so fast.
That's right, it's going to melt everything, including the PCU.
I love the way you're saying that with your AMD
CPU. My AMD's fine, it doesn't run hot, never has.
That's why your mic just stopped breaking and
never
your
will.
Discord don't work because your computer...
Yeah,
AMD it's more problem like this... again, told you, AMD
it's,
problem.
Yeah, it's probably Discord running a bunch of Intel chips, that's what it is, yeah.
Do you
well,
really
does this
think,
mean,
like, Claxon, that... do you really think that they, because I don't know a lot about them, especially in mobile areas. I don't follow anything mobile. I don't care about mobile. I don't even want my iPhone. The only reason I've got my iPhone is because it's got stuff on there from ages ago, which I feel like if I change, I'm going to lose it. And I can't be bothered to go through things to try and get it off it because I just can't be bothered with that. But do you really feel that they have got the marbles to be able to fit in that bracket and fit in, like you've got Intel, you've got AMD. Obviously, they're going to be underneath that as well.
I think they were going for the mid range. No, I read a very small article.
Even
about
in the
mid
range section, like that's filled out with AMD right now. And true, the prices yeah. To be fair, on AMD's side, the prices for what you get is very good. Do you think these people will be able to fit in there and keep up? And naturally, is it something that will happen and then just fade away? Or do you reckon it's something that could actually have an effect? Because a third party between two parties that are already at battle, someone else could come in and put all the focus onto them, if you know what I mean. If you did the marketing right, you could actually step into that space. And while these two are battling out, you can just find the gaps and fit in there, you know, and take that for yourself.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of the reason why these guys are coming in is they've acquired a ARM processor startup, I think, in the US West Coast. And there's a lot of disruption right now, right, with these ARM processors, Apple making their own, they're kind of shoving them in laptops. Mm. So, you know, competitiveness is good for all chips and Intel and AMD, so I think it's good for the consumer. But the problem with ARM processor, right, is a lot of the software and games that we play aren't built on that architecture, right? So they've got to get buy-in from the software companies to actually develop and code their programs yeah. for that platform. So who knows?
Yeah, but that's a valid point, and that makes it even harder for them to do that, because you know what, if you're the one that's developing the software, what are you going to do? You've got three options there for the main one. Obviously you can do all of them, but you know you're not going to pick these people and be with them mainly, because you're going to feel like you're not going to get to the wide market.
Exactly.
So
I just want to
know. Yeah, I think they should go for the entry level, because there's a gap there still.
But is it, if you're going to go and do something though, do you want to step in at the bottom? You want to make a mark. You want to make a scene. You want people to be talking about it. You don't want to be
like
oh,
you just said. You need to
bottom.
pick your battle, right? So you can't compete with the top end. I mean, that's probably way too far off at the moment. The mid range is already crowded. I think.
Well, would it be a mid range? Because Mystic Dude was saying that he read that the Snapdragon is at an i5 level.
Yeah.
So see? If it's at an i5
yeah, but
level,
are those the ones they're going to bring out for the consumer grade?
I mean, that's what it sounds like. So
I mean,
that's already
quite
a mid-level.
By me, by the way, but yeah.
The thing to remember is we're sat on a podcast for PCs, right? So
yeah,
we all have high-end gaming rigs. There's a huge mass market that use laptops for kind of general productivity.
And they don't even care what's in it. They just want the
yeah.
laptop to do
true.
What they need.
And that software is already starting to be built on Apple's ARM processor framework. So I think there's definitely an opportunity, and any competitiveness is good for the market in general, right?
True.
Should be. But does this mean, since Qualcomm is big in cell phones, that we're going to see a lot of mobile games into the PC market? That could be terrible.
You don't have to play them, Gray.
Yeah, but it's just, I can just imagine, though, that mobile versions of all these games
well,
that they put
Gray,
on.
Gray, your prayers have been answered, because Windows 11 is getting the Android store anytime soon, apparently.
So you know what? The worst game that I think could ever have come out on mobile, and it might have been fun, but it was simply the worst for what it caused, was when Pokemon came out, which used the map and your location, because
Pokemon
that
Go.
Was
Pokemon
some
Go, yeah.
crazy times. I remember driving to the park, and there's a group of men.
The game is huge.
Group of 40, 50-year-olds, all fighting in the bushes to try and get one from in the bushes, like in front of my car. And I'm thinking, what's the world come to? There was groups of people running around, weren't there, about a text sent out. There's one in the park. Everybody runs over there to try and get it. That was crazy. Yeah.
The game is still really big,
though.
There was
people dying.
There was this small village over here that was crowded.
Because they're looking at their mobile phone like this, and they're falling off.
It was like that Black Mirror episode where people are just like locked on their phone, and they're not really like engaging with one another, but they're in public like looking at their phone.
Yeah.
Felt like that.
Do you know what? I see so many people. When I was in London and I used to do driving in London, I would see so many people per day that I would nearly run over, because they're walking down the street and they're on their phone like this, and they're just walking at busy roads. They don't look, and they just walk straight across, and you're like, beep, and they're like, ugh. And they look at you then to say, why are you bibbing me for while I'm in the road? And you think you're walking across the road with a mobile phone in your face. Some of them with iPads. You know? The next one, this has nothing to do with computers, but it's something that just really bugs me. is the day of the selfie. When that came, oh, that needed to get wiped straight away. Because the worst thing now is when TikTok, I'm walking down the street and there'll be like a girl, she'll probably be 30, she'll be on her own, and she'll be standing like at a bus stop or something with her phone on the wall there on the seat, and she'll be going, doing this with her hands, trying to do a little TikTok thing. I just don't get it. I'd have to open my window and I'd be like, loser.
Everybody, people are saying that we're old in chat. I don't think so.
I'm old. I'm old and grumpy. Yeah. You sound guys. We are old men. I'm 40. Yeah. Look, I've got grey in the beard, man. I've got him in my beard.
Speak for yourselves, guys. I have no grey hair just yet.
I don't care what you look like.
I'm going raving on Saturday.
They're all rippersnappers.
I'm turning older on Saturday, so I'm staying home.
Oh. Older than 50.
What? Dude. 44 is enough, okay?
So. 44, yeah, youngster.
Mystic Dude says, so, to sum it up, Nick was in the bushes in the park with their mobile phones out. Was this late at night and it involved roleplay? Do you know what? If it was that, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind if it was that. Someone was getting a bit of a kinky thing going down. It was like that, fine. But man, when there's like, and it wasn't even kids. There was adults. There was a lot of adults, man. It was like 40-year-old men running around looking for these Pokemon.
And they're not even there. They're only
get
there
off
on their
the
phone.
Bonnet, you dick. It's like, bam.
I just want a Pikachu.
I get it.
How'd you get Pikachu on a bus? Pokemon.
I don't. Next. Move on.
Right, let's move on.
There's no more stories. I wish there was, but there is no more.
It's Jammer just comes in and says, what? Grey is in your beard? Oh, man. Right, let's move on. Right, let's get into the games. Now, I'm going to be honest. We got a choice here. There's a fork in the road. We can either talk about Elite Dangerous because that's what I've been playing back to back every single day, or we can skip Elite Dangerous and talk about what games they've been playing. I'll tell you what, we'll talk firstly about Claxon's game because he's been playing a game, and then you lot can let me know if you want to hear about Elite Dangerous or not. Right, Claxon, go for it.
So, yeah, so Halo multiplayer got dropped a week early on the, I think, maybe 20th anniversary of Xbox. I was a big Halo 2 and 3 player many years ago, so I was really excited to get in there.
Yeah.
So I played a couple of hours. On the theme of feeling old, that's exactly how I was made to feel. I've been avoiding, shooter games, FPS games for a while now, like the whole Fortnite, just because I'm really slow and I feel like I get in there and I'm just destroyed. And that's exactly what happened in Halo for me. Like, I was all excited. I logged in, I was playing multiplayer.
You look like you're getting depressed and you're about to cry about this.
You know what? It was pretty traumatic. I was like, all the hype and I was excited. It got released early and I got in and I was just like, being owned very quickly. And I was like, maybe they need to handicap this for all the, you know, 35 plus year olds that like me used to play it and think they're really good.
Do you not feel a bit with Halo, and I might annoy people here, I'm not
careful,
gonna be honest.
Careful.
I'm gonna say it. I've played most of the Halos, and it was so long ago that I can't even remember most of them now. Yeah, that's how long ago it was, and I remember playing them all the time. But do you not feel that game is just a bit, it's a bit gone.
You mean old?
Yeah, because they kept bringing it back, and then they'd done the reversions of it, and then, but it's the same thing all the time, you know. And I just feel like that kind of game, that game, is just something that should be left behind at this point. Did you enjoy it enough to think, well, amazing game?
I mean, Halo's like, it's one of those, it's like a franchise, right? It's not just a game. There's been television series, it was something I grew up with, so I think there's definitely like a segment of people probably my age that are older that were super hyped. And you know, the recent, you know, Halo 5 and Halo Wars has been a bit of a flop, so
I definitely think
there's
a
market for it, though.
It's a dying type of game. I don't think there is a market for it anymore. Like, when you used to play Halo, from what I remember, it would be like, you'd be on one team or another and you'd be fighting, it'd be multiplayer and stuff like that, yeah?
Yeah.
like, you can't mix that kind of game. Now, if I gave you, say you've never played Halo before, yeah? You never played it, say, because you're playing it mainly because of the nostalgic feeling you get from playing it. You want it to feel like when you got it on your Xbox and you was like, oh, I'm going to play this game. It's going to be wicked with my mates round. And you put it on and you was just deflated because it's probably not as good as it used to be remembered, yeah? It's like going back and playing Command & Conquer. You loved the game at the time, but you play it now and you think, wow, there's nothing much in this. Even though it's a good game, it's the nostalgic side of it that you like about it. And I think...
Yeah, for sure.
But I think with Halo, now, if you'd never played it before, and I gave you Halo to play for an hour, and then I gave you Call of Duty Warzone to play for an hour, yeah? You would be like, man, what is this Halo crap? That might upset people, but that's how I feel about it.
I wouldn't like either one of them because they're PvP, and I don't like PvP. So it wouldn't matter to me.
That's because you're another generation above us. You're even slower.
No, that's had nothing to do with that. I never liked that game years ago. Yeah, but they've done PvP for many years, and I never liked it from the beginning.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like it. It just nothing too exciting.
All right, so what about Elite Dangerous then, when you do the Elite for playing multiplayer, where it's just literally fighting, dogfighting, would you play that?
It's PvE. What is that? Not PvP.
I thought it was PvP fighting when you do that.
No, it's PvE. Every pirate you kill is an AI.
What? In the shooting other players, whatever it is.
No, CQC is the PvP part of the game.
That's what I just said.
Right, but I don't play that part of the game. I don't care about of the game.
I just literally said to you on Elite Dangerous, when you come to do the Elite in the PvP section, and you went, it's not PvP.
Okay, I didn't hear that. I thought you said, I didn't know you said
CQC. So yeah, so going back, rewind.
Are you okay?
So
he was backing it up.
When you come to play in the PvP section of that to do your final Elite, which you're going to do at some point, how will you feel about playing PvP in your battle in Elite when it's something you're comfortable playing?
I'm not going to do a PvP Elite like ever.
Really?
And I don't care about making a lead.
Write that down, Nick.
I'm writing that down. I don't
care about the CQC.
I've already got a challenge on anyway. My challenge, because Gray's been playing Elite Dangerous now for like 6 months to 8 months. I've been playing it for 2 months.
1400 hours.
To be fair, Gray knows everything. He's got the videos for everything. But I'm making it my own job to get two elites before he gets two.
I could have gotten two elites a long time ago, but I just didn't. I was too busy playing other stuff. That's what's so cool about the game. You know as well as I do, you can get diverted into so many other things in that game that you just forget about some other things
but
you want to do.
My original point was, what I was saying is, the conversation we're having, it's irrelevant to you because you don't like that style of game. That's why I was saying, if you play PvP on Elite Dangerous, would you enjoy it more because it's something that you like doing? But if you just don't like PvP full stop, then that's fair enough. But what my point was is, if you gave me a game like Warzone or Fortnite, I would enjoy that so much more than a game like Halo. If they brought out Halo and they brought it out as a new version, like an open world like Warzone, then I probably would like it a bit more. But it's just, I think it's just the times have gone. I think the times have gone for Modern Warfare, where you're all on a small map. You know, look at Battlefield just come out. Yeah. People are going mad about Battlefield. It's a much bigger map.
Yeah, bigger maps are where it's at. When you can go open world and everything, it's so much better. Yeah. I mean, if they took a game like Far Cry and several other games I like that and played it, and all of a sudden say, hey, we're shrinking the map, I'd be going like, nah, later.
Underwhelming Panda says he still likes Titanfall. I never really liked Titanfall either. I think that whole genre of game, like on that close, small map, I don't feel like that's... The world's expanded. We've moved on. Do you feel like that or not?
Not sure, because Counter-Strike is living one of the biggest games in the world, right? So
I'm really distracted by Trev Nod's comment. Gotta try the After 8 cookies from Domino's in the UK if you haven't already. Absolutely sensational.
That's not off topic, is it?
So I think he's trying to say what we're talking about is boring. Let's change the subject.
Yeah.
I don't think it's boring. I think it makes a point. I like it. But anyway, go ahead.
To your earlier point, though, Nick, there have been some early reviews coming out for the Halo story mode, and there have been some critiques that the story isn't actually going to make much sense for new players, and it kind of really speaks to those that used to play the game. So that will be interesting.
Because I think another aspect to look at, what you do have to look at as well when you think gaming, the world thinks gaming's for a young generation. And we're probably the first generation. I know a few people from Gray's generation. I could tell you a handful of people that I know that are over 60. And I know probably about 10 people that are over 60 and they've been gaming ever since the beginning. And if anything, they've got more experience in gaming than we have, because we was on the edge when we grew up, you know. And I think what companies are starting to realize now is if you look at the market as a whole, anyone that's over, say, 30 or 40 have got enough money to buy whatever they want. So if they bring out a game that's nostalgic to us, we will go out and just be like, buy that, you know? But if you bring a game out that's like on Fortnite, they have to go to their parents, even though that does happen a lot, but it's a given for us to just go and buy it. So I think that's why they follow these storylines on, because they want to market us into it. Because nowadays, like I remember playing a game and you wouldn't tell people outside, like around my area where I grew up, if I was like, yeah, I'm into building computers, they'd probably try to fight me. They'd have thought I was a right knob. Do you know what I mean? Because that's how it used to be. You'd be a geek. You'd have to. And the thing I think is funny is nowadays everyone wants to be a geek. You watch films now, it's like, oh, let's get with a geek. But I'm thinking, why was it ever against that in the first place, you know? Like,
I agree.
So the world's moved on, and now I think companies are looking at it's not, oh, kid. Like I remember when I met my missus, she'd be like, what are you playing games for? You're a kid. Grow up, get rid of your computer and go and do some bloody work. And people would say that to me, like my parents would be like, look, you need to stop playing games and go and sort your life out. Do you know what I mean? But nowadays, it's not like that. You've got kids now where they'll go to school and they'll be like, I want to be a YouTuber. And the teacher can't turn around and go, no, don't be so stupid, because they can sort it out at a young age and do it for themselves, you know? And if you've got if you've got that go behind you and that drive, you know, you can just do it yourself, you know? So I think that's why there's a lot of
kids doing YouTube right now. There's a lot of 10, 11, 12 year olds all doing YouTube now.
Well, on Twitch,
they may not get anywhere, but that doesn't matter.
But on Twitch, you've got to be 13, and that's why you don't get kids on there. You're not allowed to go on stream unless you're over 13. Leo, do you remember he used to stream and he'd be called a pro hand? And I would voice change his voice so that he was basically sounded like an adult, deep voice, and the camera would be on his hand. Because he plays the game a very unique way. I've never seen anyone do WSAD like him. He uses his thumb for all the keys. And he's still well good at games. And so he used to stream like that, because otherwise you just get kicked off, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think there's they're putting these games out for our market now. I love the way the chat's turned into talking about cookies and Ferrero Rochers and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it says a lot about the podcast at the moment, I guess.
Yeah,
what we should be doing is eating cookies while we're talking.
Well, we wouldn't be able to talk, would we?
Right.
But yeah, so you playing Halo? What did you think about it?
Yeah, I'm loving it. It's like you said. It's I'm getting that kind of, it's scratching that itch, that nostalgia.
How many hours have you done?
I played it with a friend on Tuesday night. Like, we only did a couple of hours, so I'm not going to give you like a review or anything, but it definitely hit the spot. It performs really well. Loving it so far, and kind of intrigued about what's next with the story mode.
So
a thumbs up from me.
I don't think I'd even, that's not even a game I'd pick up if it was going for free. I'd probably
it is free.
Skip
it. It is going for free.
Games
it
is going for
free.
Game Pass.
Is it free to play?
Yeah.
Game Pass,
the multiplayer.
Yeah.
The multiplayer.
Multiplayer is free to play, yeah.
Oh. Well, there you go. You better play. You try it now.
The general consensus is that people are actually liking it, apparently. So
yeah, it's gone down well.
Right.
Well, we waited a long time for it.
Has anybody else played anything?
The one that you mentioned before in Far Cry 6? They just came out with a DLC. I can say something.
I'm the
I have
host,
not played
so
it
I don't
yet.
Have to play the games, but these three ain't. Claxon's played the games. These two, useless.
Well, wait. I'm Far Cry 6.
To be honest, I did play Gink a little bit, but that's an older game, so.
You played a bit of Kink? What's that?
No. Yeah. Plague Inc. The one where you need to create a virus and eradicate the world.
So. Next time he comes on, he'll be wearing all his leather gear with a mouth gag and that.
Yeah.
Go on, wow. Sorry, I'll stop being rude. Go on, carry on.
That was it.
That was it.
He's got scared.
It just made a weird rumble. It was like he made it worse.
My virus eradicated the world, and that's it in that game. So, no.
Okay, so Far Cry 6, they just released a DLC with the villain from Far Cry 3.
Voss,
which
really?
Voss. Yep, it's called Voss Insanity. I haven't played it. It just appeared in the game. It downloaded and everything, but I have not tried it yet.
Oh, see,
they're claiming that it's nothing like Far Cry's ever done before. So I will play it, and I'll let you know next week.
But
we'll see what that's about.
Do you think they've done that to pull people in to buy it? Because everyone thinks Far Cry 3 was their favorite Far Cry.
Well, here's what they're doing, though. The second DLC is going to be all with the villain from Far Cry 4. And then the third DLC is going to be the villain from Far Cry 5.
Oh, right.
So this is going to be interesting to see how they're doing this or how they're getting into the game.
Do you, be honest, do you feel like they've done that because they've got a bit of criticism, didn't they? I'm sure I read, where people are saying they're just doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, they say that all the time.
They're reskinning and everything. Do you think they're doing this to try and do something different for once? Bring back all the old bosses and do something different?
No, I think they're bringing it back for a nostalgia twist.
Cheers, Trump.
I guess it's working because people do remember the old game. So it's just like we talked about before about the nostalgia thing. So you're going to come back and see what they're doing with their favorite villains in the past games. To the point about it being the same, it depends. I mean, I think Hans and I talked this about this one time. I don't care if it's the same thing as long as I know you do, but all I care about is more of what I like. So if they put in more of what I like and I have a good time with it, then I don't mind.
It's funny you're saying that because in the comments we're getting people saying it's always rinse and repeat, gets boring quick.
It is.
And I've got to be honest with you, Far Cry 3, that was one of my best open world games, but that was when open worlds were starting up. It was a new thing then. And I loved creeping around and firing my bow and arrow and taking everyone out silently and stuff. And then the next one came out and I was like, oh, this is good. By the time Far Cry 5 came out, everybody was saying it was amazing, but I just felt like I hadn't got the time or energy to really get into it. I remember everyone saying it was amazing, and I started playing it, and I was like, it feels like I'm starting the last one again, but with a different skin on it. And even though Jansen was saying to me, the guns are amazing, the way you can do this in the game, the way you can drive around and do this and do that and kit up your trucks and stuff like that, I played it, and I really wanted to like get stuck into that game, but I felt like I was sort of like, I was forcing, do you ever get this? You feel like you're forcing yourself to play it, to try and get into it, and then it just doesn't give you what you want.
Yeah, you know? That's what I got with Far Cry 6. I was bored after like 5 hours. Like, this is not for me.
I understand completely your viewpoints. So for me, it's more of what I want, so I don't mind. And I'm having a really good time with the game, and I'm loving it. So, you know, I mean, they say the same thing about Assassin's Creed. Of the last three games, which are all gigantic open worlds, which of the three do you like the best? I like the first one, though. Origins the best. Doesn't mean I don't like the other two. I like them very much. But Origins was the first, again, was like you were saying, Nick, of the giant open world type games. And it was, and so that will always be my favorite. But I still love the other ones.
But I feel with Assassin's Creed, you know Valhalla that came out?
Right.
Now, I feel that game, they made it so long. And it was really, really amazing game. But I feel like they made it so long that they made you play it for so much time that you got bored of it. Now, if they cut that game into a quarter of the length of it was, I think we would have played it to the end and we'd have gone away thinking, I can't wait for a DLC for that. I'm going to definitely get it because I want more. But they left it so long that we got burnt out on it, you know, and it was the same rinse and repeat again. And I feel like I would always have good memories of that game. It was wicked to stream. Like, people were making... You used to come in every game, didn't you? You'd make me jump off the tallest buildings and break my back and stuff. And then I'd have to try
not to die.
And you'd be, like, making me do these silly fights and stuff. It was a really funny game to stream. But it got to the point where it was just too much.
That's probably why I still like Origins the best, because they didn't do so much of that. And you could put maybe 80, 90 hours into the game and really be happy. Then when they came out with the Odyssey. Next one, then it was twice as long with twice as many missions and DLC on top of that, that there was no way I completed the game. I did a lot of it. I did 150 hours, but I didn't finish the game. Now in Valhalla, they tripled it. It's still going. There's still DLC they're releasing. It's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, but you feel like you don't want to get it because you feel like you're just going to get back into that. Oh my God, there's going to be so much to do.
Well, some of it they gave for free.
Don't get me wrong, doing a lot's a good thing, but it's like, sometimes it's a bit overwhelming. It's a bit like, I've seen people before, yeah? And I will say, look, why don't you try playing Fallout 76? And they'll go turn around to me and be like, I ain't got time to, I don't want to start that because I know it's going to be a time sink and I can't be bothered to get into it. You know, it's like
that one particular game you never wanted to play.
You're telling me how good a game is and you're telling me you don't want to play it because it's going to be too good, because it's going to be too long, because there's too much to do in it. And I felt that with Wasteland. Remember Wasteland 3? And Wasteland 2. Did any of you play that? Remember on stream I played Wasteland and everybody followed me around. Another game that got so big that it sort of faded out the like passion for the game faded out, you know. But anyway, let me catch up with some in the chat because lots of people have been chatting and we've been talking about it. We haven't said nothing. I just want to say Trubshaw, he says great podcast guys, and he just subbed, so thank you, dude. And then also Scooby69, cheers for that sub as well, man. I appreciate that, dude. And everyone, make sure you give Scooby69 a follow quickly because he'll be going live probably again next week or tomorrow. I don't know. You can put it in the chat. Building that PC that he's finishing for the Elite. I've already said everything about the PC, Scoob, so you probably get a few people contact you anyway. Right, moving down the list. Bossman JC says, I thought the DLC, you was playing as the bad guys.
Oh, that's the new one I just mentioned in the Far Cry 6. I don't know. I haven't played it, so I can't answer that.
Oh, really?
So maybe that's what it is.
But maybe that's what they're doing different. You play as the bad guy, and then you've got to, like, put people in cages and beat them with sticks. Scooby, cheers for them bits, mate. Appreciate that. He says, 5 was one of the first games Shell and I played a ton together. Yeah, because I remember Shell. She was one of the people that used to make... You know when someone talks to you about a game, and then you makes you want to play that game? That was Shell for me, because she used to go, oh, yeah. And the one thing I always talk about was I loved it how if you've got RGB keyboard, it turned into an American flag. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Yeah, so when you load the game up, your whole keyboard turns into an American flag. It's pretty cool, which I've never seen that much in games. And you don't really see that. It's like a fad it went through. You don't really see that much anymore where your keyboard matches the game. But that's a cool thing as well. But, yeah, right. What's next then? Is that it? You're quiet.
I don't know. You're reading the chat, so I thought you were gonna read more.
Yeah. Well,
Well, Mystic Dude says, do you think the two biggest releases recently, Far Cry 6 and New World, have all been a bit meh?
Yeah.
Well, we kind of talked about Far Cry 6, but what about New World? A lot of people playing that in our Discord.
I mean, I'll be honest. From the trends that I've been seeing, especially in the Discord as well, is there was a massive hype to get New World. Everyone thought it was going to be the biggest new MMO. And I think a lot of people tried to get their hardest into it. But I don't feel, from what I've seen of other people, that it's got the initial game to get in. Like, you're training and you're learning for a massive chunk of the time. And everyone in our Discord's trying to get to, like, level 60 to do all the dungeons and stuff. But I feel like from what I've been hearing from people, because I've been playing Elite so much, I haven't gone back into New World yet because I had an issue with my computer and so all of my game saves disappeared. But if I was to get back into it, I've been seeing them people have been playing and they've been talking about getting up to that level and doing the stuff. But I feel like that the overall look at it is at the end of doing up to level 60, there's not much to go further with, and people are waiting for the game to have more stuff added and to be changed to go further. What's your view on it? Have any of you three played it?
Yeah. No, I was going to.
How high did you get on levels, though?
I got to about 24, I think.
You've gone very quiet, Claxon.
Oh, sorry. Is that better?
Yeah, that's it.
Yes.
Yeah, one of the challenges I'm finding, we've kind of talked about this throughout the podcast today, but... lots of game companies are going in this direction where they're creating open world games, right? Because you can kind of release content and monetize within a game structure like that. And
just
I think
keep it going, yeah.
The problem is because they're all creating these open world games, you know, we don't have the time to play all of them, right? And when you play in an open world game, there is a big investment in the character you're building and their, you know, weapons and their builds. So I think for me, one of the things I'm struggling with is I just don't have the time. And I feel like in New World,
exactly what I just said.
It's so easy to get behind so quickly and feel a bit like, if I don't put another 50 hours into this, I'm like, I can't catch up. So for me, it's a beautiful game. I think it's good timing with everyone leaving World of Warcraft, with the crazy stuff happening at Blizzard. But you've also got Final Fantasy around the corner, I think, in a week's time, or maybe that's already out. So that will be a big test for that game, I think.
I don't know. Like, I feel a little bit like it's everybody's left us behind, and for us to catch up is going to be a massive time sink to do that. But I feel like it's like everybody's already got to that first hurdle and we're still running behind. And I feel like I can look at them from behind and see what they're doing and feel like it doesn't look that exciting. So do I want to catch up? Do you know what I mean?
Well, an MMO is always a grind, right? Like they're all,
but the gameplay now, I really,
they're all designed like that.
I feel like there's not a lot going on. Like for me in that game, this might sound a little bit pathetic, but I like the idea of that game because it reminded me a bit of Fable at the beginning when they was talking about it. You can buy your houses and you can do stuff and you can team up and you can go and do this together and you can fight together. When I saw the houses, I wanted to be able to go in there and customize all my house and build it up and stuff like that. And I don't think that's how it really went when I played it. I didn't get that customization feel. I just got more of an arcadey sort of run through and whirlwind fight feel, you know? And I also felt a little bit like if you weren't playing with friends, it weren't that fun.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, it's true. It's an MMO for a reason, so.
Well, let me throw something at you guys. In talking about MMOs, I want to get your opinions. It seems like, maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree, but it seems like everything is going towards an MMO style of game online. For instance, they already announced Assassin's Creed is going live service. Other games are talking about going live service. It almost seems like
it's the way forward.
In the very near future, the games are going to be nothing but MMOs, and they won't be any, except for the indies, there won't be any games that are self-contained.
But it will still
anymore.
Be indies, but you've got to realize when you get a company that's massive, you don't need to bring out a game title number one and then a year later a game title number two. You don't need to do that anymore because there's no limitation on space anymore. That's why you used to have a game come out and then a new game come out. Because you can have servers. Like, look at World of Tanks. World of Tanks has been going for years now. And every few years, all they do is they update their game with new stuff. And then what they do is they update the graphics package. So every couple of years, you go, oh, there's a new graphics package out. You upload it and you get brand new graphics, but you're still playing the game you love. So your game doesn't get old. It just evolves. And for me, I think that's a much better idea. Like, look at us in Elite. Look at the time sink we've put into that. Look how many hours we've done. We've done many hours. Now, for that to finish and to say that we're going to bring out Elite Dangerous 2, we're all going to be like, oh, man, but all of our stuff's on that one. So they don't do that now.
Well, right. It's not built to do that. I get it. But then again, there's still room for... It's not that I don't want that. I just think in some instances, not maybe with everybody or every gaming company, I think it stifles originality. To the point where it's just like, well, we'll just put out a little new stuff and they'll just keep paying us and we're good.
Really? No, I don't mind that. I really don't mind that. I would happily rather, do you know what? Even though I think Call of Duty is out of order, putting a game out once a year for £70, like, I think that's a bit harsh. But the Warzone idea I like because you don't have to buy the game and pay £70. You can play it for free and you can play Warzone, you know? But I do really love the idea that every time they release a game, that bits of that game get released into Warzone, the map gets updates, like Fortnite, Warzone, all them sort of games. I think they're so much better. Like, look at Fortnite. You get the end of a season happen, and then there's all this massive hype around it. What's going to happen? Nobody knows. Oh, it's a meteorite coming down. No one knows what's happening. My son's jumped on. Even I came in. I don't even like Fortnite. I came in because he's like, look, we don't know what's going to happen. So I came running in as well at the last minute and watched. And all we've done is watch this, like, sequence happen on screen. And it was like, that's it. Boom. And then it's just waiting. And then, do you remember there was, like, a black hole or was a meteorite or something? I can't remember what it was. And it was just on screen for, like, 2 days. And everybody, it was the highest video on the whole of Twitch. Just a circle, you know? And the marketing team done an amazing job because it pulled everybody back in. Everybody
wanted to. Prove my point.
They're like, take my money, you know? And look at me, all three of my kids, I will buy them what they want.
I'm not saying there's not enjoyment and people love, you know, there's a group out there, there's an audience for it. I get it. But for me, that just made my point. Let's put up a black hole for 2 days. Yeah, that's original. But yeah, I mean, but it's just not. I don't know. I just feel that
the whole thing about these games, Gray, is to pull money out of your pockets. You've got to realize that.
Obviously. I get it. I understand that.
You can't knock Fortnite. That marketing guy there, he would have got pay rise.
Just because he pulled everyone in.
But what I'm saying is why would you want to keep switching to new games?
Well, I'll give you an example. And one game. Not everybody may have the same opinion, but I'll give you an example. Would I rather have seen another game like Skyrim come out, or would you want to waste 12 years on ESO? My answer would be I would rather have seen a new Skyrim game 2 years later than 12 years wasted on ESO.
No, that's not really
because
fair.
Me and Gray, we're single player gamers, right? So of course we're going to choose that game.
But no,
but I understand Nick's point. So
that's not a fair comment.
But the thing is, you can have both
because you're saying you're purposely putting a game that got bad vibes because of the way they brought out their marketing. They brought it out so it was a subscription every month, and I think it was like £30 or something, or £10 a month.
I did it for a year.
Yeah, and the game wasn't fully. It had lots of issues. And then you're talking about Skyrim, which was a game that came out that everybody absolutely loves, and it's still out today because of all the mods. I don't think you can use them as a comparison.
No, but I'm trying to. I'm making a more of a radical point with that one. But my point is that. Why can't you have your MMO, let's say, and still put out a good single player game every, I don't know, 2 or 3 years?
Because I think that's more annoying.
I don't, because you could do so much with a single player. You're going to see
like,
only
that's
indies
like,
doing
I'll put
it.
In terms, Elite Dangerous terms, because easier to try and explain it. That's like saying we're playing Elite Dangerous that every couple of months they bring out a new patch with new stuff, and we're all in there. We put all of our time into it, but then they release a side game, Elite Fighting. And then you go and buy that game as well to play. Why would you want to play that game somewhere else?
Okay,
you
I'll give you
an example. Into the same world.
No, wait. I'll give you another example. Let's say they took some of the rich lore that's in Elite. That's really great, and you would love to know more about the backstory and some of the stuff, but it doesn't doesn't really exist. And they bring out a game that specifically covers some of the lore that is never really covered in the main game. It would be great.
£40 to see the lore, they would get
see the lore come alive.
Off playing this game over here, no. Why should I pay another £40 to know the lore?
I would love to see a whole thing on what happened with Jameson when he crashed.
I'm actually going to share Scooby's because I think he's got a really good point in the chat, and that's the advantage of an MMO makes way more money for the developers through the subscriptions over a lot of years, whereas a AAA title takes years of development for 3 months worth of sales. So,
I'm not arguing that point. I get it. If I was running a business, I would understand that totally. But at the same time, there's room to be able to put out a single player game occasionally. And the way you would do it is like I said with Elite, you go after the lore that you know you're never going to do anything with in the MMO. But people are always wondering about.
Yeah,
so you do a whole thing on Jameson and what happened to him.
That's what you're saying there is something that, and this is what I was asking you to, that would really piss me off. If I'm putting thousands of hours into the game, yeah, and I'm loving it, and then they bring out a side game that I have to pay more money for, if it was connected to that, fine. But if they bring out a totally separate thing and they're like, oh, if you want to get into the lore of Elite Dangerous, blah, 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 go and play this game. I would be one of the people gunning for them, going, I've done all of this for this game. I keep putting money into this game every week for you, and you've gone and done, you expect me to pay for that. Would you not be like that?
No, I wouldn't. I would play the game because it's separate. It's not the same. It's connected, but not the same game.
That's just a bad move.
Well, they did something not that long ago with Skyrim. You got the Enhanced Edition, and now you have to pay 20 extra to get the Anniversary Edition, which
right.
is basically.
Yeah. Mods.
It looks a little better and a few mods. So it's, yeah.
But what did you think?
I understand Nick's point. I think.
But that's different. I'm talking about original material that you would make that would complement the MMO, but go off on its own doing a little thing about the backstory that you never knew.
Watching Nick and Gray argue is like watching Sub-Zero and Scorpion. Get over here.
We love it.
For me, I just think if you're going to go with a game and you're going to pull people in, and you're going to want people to pay repeat money on that game, you need to keep everything in that game. I don't think putting spin-offs here and there, that's just going to annoy people. I think that's a silly idea, and I don't think it'd pull much more money, and I think you'd have half the people might buy it, and half the people would be like, they pissed me off, I'm not buying it now, I'm not paying money to the game because they expect me to do that. That's what they did with Call of Duty, and that's what pisses me off. And the fair play is, Call of Duty do that, and people do buy it because it's an amazing game, but it's based on an amazing game. Anything below that game, and people would get the ump with it. They wouldn't put up with it. They wouldn't put up with paying that kind of money on the side for something else that's like the game they're playing.
Panda made a good point. He goes, why would they have to do that as a single player game when they can add an episode to the live service that pre-exists and put it into the game already? I'm definitely for that. The problem is that they don't do that.
No,
that's
Bloody Field has just summed it up perfectly for me. Would you prefer if Odyssey was a separate game?
No, not the way
exactly
it works.
Exactly my point. Thank you, Bloody Field, for that.
But that's not the same thing.
Yes,
I'm not talking
You're
about
paying
that.
Separately
no.
for something. That's right. A new version.
Right.
What I would like to see is just like Panda was saying, but they'll never do it. And that if they want to keep it in the MMO, cool, make an episode that does cover the backstory of what happened with Jameson that you can play. That'd be cool, but they'll never do that.
That happened with...
Most of the MMOs would never do that. That's
that
the problem.
That happened with UFO Enemy Unknown. They brought out a side story for the backstory, first-person shooter. Not one person played it, and it flopped, and it was the worst game ever.
Right, but that's an example of how it doesn't work. I'm not saying that things wouldn't work or would
Fatality.
Work. But anyway.
Right, Commander McCraw, he says, honestly... the way I see MMOs, like ESO especially, it opens up the doors for bringing content from previous standalone titles into the open world MMO game for everyone to enjoy. For example, there were so many people that loved Morrowind and at some point loved Oblivion and those that loved Skyrim. The way ESO has brought them in piece by piece, each different region to the open world of ESO was brilliant and caters for those who loved the things from each title. Now that, I can understand that, and that's what I mean. You're feeling like you're getting rewarded with what you're paying each month by getting the things you love. That's totally opposite of what we're saying, where someone loves something, so you make them pay for something else to be able to be involved with that. Because if you brought out a second game or a second part for the lore, and it was a new game about the lore for the game you love, you'd feel like you've been a bit done over. You'd be like, well, I'm paying you monthly money here. I'm paying you for these skins. I'm paying you for these ships. I'm paying you for the spikes on my ship. And now... you're going to make me pay for another game. It would be the opposite of that.
Then what they need to do is put more effort, some of the MMOs, but more effort into doing these side episodes where you can learn about the stuff that you wish you knew.
Yeah.
Using Jameson as an example.
Well, getting back to the original point, this is the base of it. Right, everybody, I'm going to get everybody in chat. There's quite a few people in chat. Everyone in chat, put in, would you rather see, press number one, if you would rather see... the game you love, just keep getting updated and you pay month by month, like when they bring DLCs out and stuff like that, but it's all in one game, all in one place. Or press two if you would prefer to have it where they bring out these side games that have nothing to do with it, just to be able to get the lore or to get a side spin of the game or the back history. One or two, put it in and we'll see what people say. But while we do that...
I'm confused. Which one was one and which one was two?
Oh my God. See,
I mean, one successful story I found is Blizzard and World of Warcraft. They introduced the Hearthstone card game that could be played on PC and mobile that complemented the lore and story of Warcraft.
Yep.
And I played both of those games, and Hearthstone was one of those games where like you had to
just
pay
one quick
for
valid
card
point,
packs.
Though. It's free.
Yeah,
to
but
play.
Wasn't Hearthstone free to get? Yeah, free to play. Yeah.
Yeah.
Free to
I
play,
just thought
you
it was
can
a good
play
example.
For cards if you want.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed that, and that was a bit of a spin-off, where I got to know the Warcraft world even more.
Yeah, but that's fair enough because it's free to play, so you went and checked it out. But if they was like, pay 40 quid, yeah. You'd be like, I'm not playing that. I'll just pay for the game. Right, everyone that's in the chat, everybody's putting one, and that's exactly what I'm saying, is that there's no twos there at all, Gray. It's basically like, if you're tied into a game that you love and the games nowadays are just, they grow and grow and grow and grow, I would much rather just wait for the new part of that game and pay an extra 20 quid to play further in the same world rather than just get a whole new game and start fresh. Like, you have had some games. You've had some games like, what's the space game you play? We can't remember the name of it. It's a space open world
Elite?
Game.
Elite?
No, not Elite. Mass
Star
Effect.
Citizen?
Like, Mass Effect, what they did is they brought it out where you play number one, but then your character save, when you play number two, switches over to character two, and then you continue. And then you play number three, and then your character will switch again. So you play for the whole story, but you buy the game. But I think that's down to size, because that was when games were on CDs.
Right, exactly.
They couldn't, otherwise, that could be a continuation as well. But like I'm saying, in Elite or Fortnite or Warzone, it's so much better, I feel, when you feel like you're doing something, you feel like you've got a goal, you continue that goal as you're playing, and then by the time you've done that goal, there's another thing coming out. So like in Elite now, I'm waiting for the next update, so I can be like, what are they going to bring in next? And even you, Gray, you can't knock it. You're saying everybody...
Not at all.
No, but you're saying to everybody, I can't wait for Elite in the next update, because they're going to bring in interiors inside my fleet carrier. It's going to be amazing. So you're tied in as well to that. Wait.
I never said I wasn't. No, but I'm just saying.
But I'm just trying to explain it from that to paying for it. You know?
Then I'm all for, well, we don't know what's going to happen. But if it was me, I would create these episodes to explore some of the back lore, because there's such rich backstories to this Elite universe that I would love to know it. And yet it just sits there. It doesn't really develop. I get it, but it would be nice to be able to develop some of it.
The black stories, and you can read
them.
No,
but you can't. You don't know the real history live in front of your face that happened to James, and I'm keep using him as an example. So I would love to see a side episode where you would actually be able to go and experience some of what he went through, for real.
Mm.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's ever going to happen. But
Scooby just said, The Elder Scrolls 6 will be a solo game that will take a lot of money. The reason why Elder Scrolls 6 is going to be a solo game is because they didn't really, not many people liked the multiplayer game. And we see that in a few other games as well, like Fallout, where they do a multiplayer and the game just does not feel how it used to feel. You don't get that in-depth vibe when you're playing with other people. And I'll be honest, when I played Elder Scrolls, I loved it. I was so sucked into the game. When I played ESO, I felt like I was running around following my friends, because everybody, it just turned into a raid all the time. And I was just literally following people all the time. And I'll be honest, if Fallout went back to a single player, I'd prefer that. But then again, I'd much prefer a Fallout world where the map keeps expanding into different areas as it goes forward, rather than keep buying Fallout 1, Fallout 2, Fallout 4, Fallout 76. Do you know what I mean? And I also, one thing I also don't like is the way you pay for these. I wouldn't mind paying for a DLC and then playing it, but I don't like all the let's buy tokens and buy this bit and that bit and this bit. Like, I don't mind Elite Dangerous where we're buying skins for our ships, because that's on us. We can do it if we want. But if you go to Elite Dangerous, Fallout 76, you've got all these different things to try and pull money out of you. I'd rather just pay for the game to be updated like a new game. You know? Let me just play it when I want to, how I want to. That's my rant over anyway.
That's we've beaten that subject to the death, but that's good. I love it.
Underwhelming Panda says, isn't this boiling down to, do you want a game where you play a character, or do you want a game that your character plays? I don't know. I've fried my brain now.
I know.
It's really mad at that.
Commander McCraw says, well, to be honest, I think it's all a matter of what is trending right now in the world of video games. Right now, MMOs are the rage. We all want to be working on something with friends. We're in a time where we're not only are we restricted on our social gatherings due to pandemics, as humans are social creatures, and so we crave the ability to be able to enjoy games with other people. So game designers are capitalizing on that craving. I don't know, you know, I do feel what you're saying, but I also feel there is a little market there for people. Sometimes I like to switch the computer off and just play on my own in the dark with no one around and just get into the game and no one talk to me. Do any of you do that?
I do that with Far Cry every night the last few weeks.
A lot of streamers, if you look at a lot of big streamers, you'll see on their Discords and stuff, you'll see that they'll be playing a game that you've never seen them play on stream. And what it is, they all keep their little game that's their special game. And when they get off at streaming, because sometimes streaming does make you feel like, if you do it all the time, you feel like you're working all the time, and even though it is sort of work, but you feel like you're pressured to put it out. And what happens is a lot of people like to just switch off, shut down, and then just play a game on their own with no one there. Like me, to be fair, when I get off Elite, I like to put it on my own when I'm off late at night and no one's around. My missus goes to bed, I turn all the lights off, and I'll sit there and I won't get on chat, and I'll just be doing the boring stuff in game, like, and just winding down, you know, just chilling out. Do you do that?
You just play Scriblio and things like that? Scribbly. No, only kidding.
Scriblio. You don't want to know what happens when we get Scriblio out.
I know. Well, I think you made a good point. Like, I like to play Far Cry myself at night because I really enjoy the game. It's not a multiplayer game that I would want to do with other people. It is what it is. I want to be the guy that's doing the stuff. And I can do that. And that's why I'm hoping that doesn't disappear. But I think what's going to happen is as the big companies go MMO, the indies will fill the gap. And then they'll be putting in the games that we, you know, the single player type games, which would be great because the indies often do some interesting things that might actually work out good in the long run.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Tropsaw says the beauty in Elite is that you can earn in-game money by playing to pay for the skins, which is true. I think that's a really nice feature.
Yeah, it is. I wish I could earn more.
If you play the game for a week, you get 400 points in-game to spend.
Arcs points,
They're called Arcs points. And I think it's about 10 quid for like 12,000 Arc points. So that's probably 4 quid.
And we've all spent real money on it.
So you earn 4 quid in real money. But the thing is, yeah, we've all spent real money because we all feel like we're getting our money's worth. So we don't mind.
Yeah.
Sometimes you feel like you want to throw money at a game because you want to thank them for giving you such a good game. Well, I do that. I don't know if anyone else does.
Yeah, I rarely ever spend any money on cosmetics, period. I just don't. But for this game, I've actually spent probably about 20, 25 bucks already.
Yeah. And honestly,
just because I wanted that skin, I wanted the paint job, I wanted the color, I wanted the, you know, whatever.
Yeah, purely cosmetics. As long as it's not pay to win, it doesn't really matter.
But I do feel like as well, in a game like that, you see each other's ships and you do look at them and go, oh, that looks well good. So it's almost like we could wait to get it for free, but we're all going to pay for it because we want it now. And because they've given us that option, we're happy to do it. If they turn around and said, you have to pay for it, there's no option to get it, then we wouldn't buy them because no one would have them because no one took the first step. But because we do that.
Occasionally in the game, I don't know how often they do this, but every once in a while, instead of 400 arcs points a week, they up it to 6 and 8 for like a short time period, and then they drop back to 4 again. So that's nice too.
Yeah.
You can earn even more. But you're right. There's not a lot of companies that let you earn it as you play. Most don't. They wouldn't even think about that.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Right. I think we've had enough arguing. We've ranted at each other enough. Hope everybody's enjoyed it. We've still got a few people watching, so you must have enjoyed our ranting. Or you was just waiting and holding on for great.
It was very instructive. Everybody likes a good rant.
Right, let's move on. I just want to talk quickly about the community stuff that's going on. Obviously, I've already said that this Saturday we'll be going to Twitch London. If you see my stream go live and you get an email about it, we'll probably be on the river pissed. It might be a funny stream. There'll be a few of us there drunk, being silly. So check that out. We might only be live for 15 minutes or whatever, or it might be live for a little while. I don't know. Sometimes we don't even go live. We'll just see how it goes. If one of you remind me by texting me on Discord saying, look, go live, we want to see where you are, then I'll probably go live.
You know how many times I've said that and you still don't do it?
Yeah, that's because last time I was pissed before you done it, and then I just didn't even look at my phone. but yeah, do it on this time. I'll be getting down there for around 2 o'clock UK time. So obviously, because I'm in the UK, but
obviously,
shit.
Apart from that, we've still got our benchmark scoreboard going in the magazine, and we've still got the magazine. So anyone that wants to read our free magazine, the link's there. You can just go to extremepcuk.co.uk. All of our links are there. Our Discord's there. You can get into the Scooby build there and win that as well. Right, our next social night is going to be on Saturday, the 4th of December, 7 p.m. That last one was pretty funny. You can come down. You just get in our Discord, get your camera on. You don't have to have your camera if you don't want. Just jump in there. We'll all be having a laugh. Last time we did do Scriblio and it got really funny. We put the bot for music on in there and we was all like putting in random tunes. It was quite funny watching that. So make sure you're around on the 4th of December, which is a Saturday. Apart from that, we're going to move into the questions. Now, we've only got one question for today's podcast. So if anyone's got any questions, it can be about PC components. It can be about just us a lot. It can be about any games. If you've got a question you'd like us to talk about, put it in the chat right now, and we'll get to it after this question. And the first question of the day is from Panda, which is Underwhelming Panda in the chat. And he says, what is the game that made you realize, yep, this is my hobby now. This is what I want to spend my free time on. Go to Gray first.
Well, we've already been talking about it. I mean, for the present, it's Elite, but...
an answer, Gray. Go back to the beginning of your gaming career.
Back to my game, what, Pong?
Pong.
I'm going to play Pong for the rest of my life.
Pong.
I'm going to make
big games are like that. I mean, I'm trying to think what the first, I guess I'd have to go back to like Doom. That made a big impression. That was like, oh, this is what I want to do. I mean, I'm playing this game forever.
I know. I've got a way of working this out. What does everybody in the chat, because everybody in the chat knows Gray and everybody knows him on a pretty decent level. What game do you feel like is Gray's go-to game, which is his hobby game? Because it is
now or before?
Before that, there's been other ones. I would say that it was Division 2.
Yeah, that'd be the one right after this. Right after Elite, sure. Because I did 600 hours.
Because the amount of times I had to tell that bastard at the beginning of the podcast, do not talk about that game again. Otherwise, I'm going to delete it from humanity.
And now we talk about Elite.
Even
Fair
Hans
play.
Got to the point where he'd be like, Gray, just delete Division 2 off of there now.
Scooby put Cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk.
Right. Don't think so.
You promised to finish Cyberpunk, remember? You should still do it.
Yeah. I didn't say how long I would take.
I think yours is Division 2. And I remember when Division 2 came out and you would be hassling me to get into it every day. Nick, get into it. You'd love it. There's so many collectibles. You'll love it.
I think he would have liked it if
I did get into
it.
I played it for quite a long time. I set up the I was the one that set up the group.
Well, that group lasted 2 years. So
that group lasted 2 years. Everyone played that game every weekend for 2 years. There's like 15, 20 people in there. And I think the whole thing went south when they brought out some like unicorn guns or something. I remember, what was it? I remember Mystic Dude getting the ump about it and saying, hey, ruin this game. It's unbalanced.
Well, then besides that, it was just, I think, a matter of time. And the game finally got, I guess, a little older, wearing on everybody. Supposedly, they're coming out with some new update that they claim is going to revitalize the whole thing. I don't know.
Really?
I guess, yeah, they did. And it's not out yet, but I don't think. But
I'll tell you what, though.
So.
That game was a good game. That did give you that. That gave you the couch co-op feeling with your friends. You felt like when you was playing that game, it was like, yeah, come on, quick, there's a big guy coming. I can't remember the names of him. He's a legendary or whatever, and you'd be like, quick, get over here. Someone reload. Someone get on the gun up there. Yep. And I remember that was a pretty fun game.
It was the same as the feeling we have in Elite. Everybody got together. Everybody played together. Everybody had a good time. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah. Definitely.
I do feel Elite is... I've been looking for a game like this for a very long time. A game that just grows and grows and grows, and there's so much to do that you can just... I feel like... I could just play that game and I'm never going to finish it. I'll always have something to do. And I can't wait to see what the devs do next.
At 190 hours and only what, a week? Don't get burnt out.
Again, people, go back a few months to the podcast and listen to that one.
Yeah. The thing is, I never had a go at Elite. I just said that I'm currently playing Star Citizen, and Star Citizen is amazing, which it is, but it's nowhere near the depth. I remember saying, one's a sea, one's a puddle, one's got depth, and one's got no depth. I remember that, but I was blinkered. Just like how Gray's blinkered about Star Citizen at the moment. And there's a free fly coming up. We could try it out.
No.
It's because Gray struggled to install it. He didn't know how to install
not,
the game.
No, that is one thing. That's true. For me, it's simply because I cannot deal with two time sync games. I got the one. And I'm good and I'm happy with it. If I try to get into a second time sync game, then I won't have time to play either one. Yeah.
I do feel a little bit now, playing Star Citizen, the graphics and the being immersed like that is amazing. Don't get me wrong, it's well good. But I do feel with what Elite Dangerous has done with the whole faction and the whole group and the teaming and the way we all work together on it, I think it's going to be hard to them. If they recreate that in Star Citizen, it's going to take a very long time. I reckon it will be another 5 years.
Yeah. I think what it is Star Citizen is a game of moments, whereas Elite is a long-term thing.
But you can't say that because you haven't played it.
No, I'm just saying, but because everybody jumps in on an update, and then yeah. they're off, and then they jump in on the next
yeah, but
update,
you do have
and then
to
they're off.
You're playing the game as it's being built. It's not like Elite came out and it was out. This
I get
is
it.
Being built, so it's a bit different.
What are we gonna do when Starfield comes out and a couple of these other major big ones?
Do you know what I mean, don't mind?
Is it a Starfield single player?
Yeah, and I don't feel that Starfield is. I think it's gonna be more of a fun game to play. I don't think it's gonna be Elite Dangerous is a simulator. It's realistic to everything. It's realistic to the stars yeah. where they are. It's realistic to how you fly. I think Starfield's gonna be Fallout 4 in space.
Hmm.
You know, it's gonna be like Outer Worlds.
It's the age of the space game, man. With what is it, EverQuest or Eve also, and Jesus, there's a bunch out there that people really go mad about.
That was like a massive following, Eve. Like if you played,
still
Eve,
is. Yeah, yeah, it's yeah. still not a big following.
It takes 5 years to get from the lowest ship to the biggest ship in Eve. You have to do
really?
Little training courses. That No Man's Sky. Oh man, No Man's Sky. God.
See, now I liked No Man's Sky for the 8 hours I played, but the same thing. I went, oh boy, this is gonna be a time.
Yeah, but
sink.
I played No Man's Sky for about 50 hours or something stupid. I don't know. You can check it on Steam how long I paid.
Yeah, you did it in the beginning, yeah, man.
Yeah, I played in the beginning,
broken.
And I didn't mind it because I was focused on getting different spaceships. So I had a goal to do, and I just wanted to do that. Obviously, people were trying to get to the center of the galaxy. I wasn't that fast. I really don't like the idea that they brought out this base build, and I feel like what they've done is. They needed to go that direction. They needed to go forward. And then what they realized is they came to a brick wall and they were like, what can we do now? Everyone's crying about this. So they was like, oh no, let's put base building and make them feel like they do something else. So then they put base building over here, which is totally irrelevant to anything in that game. The base building doesn't give you anything when I played it.
Right now,
even
Panda mentioned to it. Now the game is like really good. I really did like it, but it's just too much right now. I can't do another time sink. But
it was good in
it
VR.
It was great. I was having lots of fun with it when I played.
Really
so.
Fun in VR.
It's different. It's definitely different.
But yeah, if we're not going to get any more questions, we're going to come to the end of the podcast. If someone has got something to put it in now so we can have a chat. Otherwise, is there anything else you guys would like to say?
I'm saving it for the next podcast.
The only thing is, I'd say, like answering Panda's question myself, mine was definitely World of Warcraft. Like when I downloaded that game years ago, and I'm probably going to say something that might get me kicked off this podcast next.
Oh, no.
I actually had a Mac at university because I studied graphic design.
Fact.
And there wasn't many games for Mac like 15 years ago.
There still isn't.
So I went to it was when I lived in the UK, but it was like Game, I think the store was.
Yep.
If that's still around.
Yep.
And I was like trying to find a game in there that played on Mac, and obviously nothing did other than World of Warcraft Vanilla. And I remember taking that game home and just being like, "What the hell?" Like I didn't really understand the concepts of MMO at the time and this open world and going to get quests. And that game absolutely. Blew my mind.
I was like, that was Fallout 3.
Like that experience, like I was on that until 4 a.m. in the morning, and I like going to bed early.
Well, I got
similar
Fallout,
story here.
I got Fallout 3 because it came with an Xbox at the time, and I didn't have a clue what it was, and I just looked at the box, and I was sort of like, that looks like a decent game. I'll get that with it. And I remember sitting down and playing it, and I remember getting onto it, and it's like where you walk out of the shelter into the open world. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, literally, I can see a building right over there. I can walk over to it and walk in it. And I'm walking in it. I'm looking around. And I'm like, man, this is crazy. There's a building over there. I've got to walk in there, look around. And, like, picking up things in random buildings and taking them and selling them and buying and making stuff. I love that feeling. And that's where I first took off with the open world stuff. I loved it. I felt it was all new back then.
Yeah. It was totally new back then. They started out as a single camp player, right? If I remember right, before they went into MMO, it didn't always start out.
No, World of Warcraft was an RTS game before.
Right, yeah. That's when I played it, and when it went MMO, I stopped.
Yeah.
But I remember playing
Why did you stop, Gray? They brought out a side game that you could pay for, which told you the lore and everything.
I didn't like the MMO style. I really wasn't into MMOs at that time, so I kind of, you know, just drifted away. But the single players were great.
I remember the first days of World of Warcraft was absolute hell to play. The Blizzard totally wasn't ready for so many players. They had like servers with, I think it was 200, 300 people was the cap, and millions of players wanted to log on at the same time. Yeah. It was insane the first few weeks. They went from, I think, 15 servers to over 100 in a few weeks. And even then, you're still at waiting times.
Yeah. I'm surprised you guys didn't give me a harder time for having a Mac. I thought I was going to get...
We just pretended we didn't hear
we
that.
We look at you and see you're one of them type of guys. We know you've we'll got do that stream somewhere down worry. There. You've got a little laptop bag as well next to you, haven't you? Come on, where's your laptop bag? Show us
we
it.
Just ignored the told word Mac and kind of, you know.
He's got a, I bet he's got a printer behind him.
That's a graphics tablet. Do you know what I brought this week, actually? If you want to talk a bit of tech, I brought the Elite Series 2 controller.
Oh.
My Xbox controller was disconnected from my PC all the time, and it got really irritating, and I heard really good reviews, so I've been playing with that the last few days.
How much was it? 70 quid?
No, I don't want to discuss it openly.
So the Elite controller is...
Come on, how much
is
it?
Way more.
Don't you think that's a joke? That's why I use this one, look. So I use this, and I use it wired. I've just got my Xbox One, and I love it. I wouldn't change it. And I have it wired when I'm playing with it, because I hate it when it keeps disconnecting. But how much did you pay for it? I think I paid 50 quid for that.
I paid about $200.
What?
Wow, for a controller?
I got the black one. So.
Is it the one that's got the extra paddle Holy flaps smokes. Underneath?
Yeah. And you can change the tension of each part of the controller, which is really, really nice.
Yeah, see, I've never been into all that. You give me extra buttons, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I am. Seriously, I'm very simple when it comes to controllers and stuff. It's like, that's got to be set. That's why I don't use a HOTIS at all. You know, like you lot love it for the space games. Like, wait, I've got all the sticks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I just think if I had to go in and change them settings on that every time, I would break something. So I won't get one for that reason. Even Elite Dangerous, the reason why I never played it before is because I couldn't be bothered to change the settings.
And yeah, because you're left-handed.
Yeah, so and it was just up, down, left, right, and all these buttons. And Gray used to say to me, Nick, just come in once. I will get on and we'll spend the day going through all your controls. Do you remember that, Gray?
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I was like, nope, I've had enough. And then one day he came on and he showed me it all, and I played it for the day, and then I stopped. And you were like, man, look, you just messed it up this once. We can make it work. It's like, we can make it work, Nick. We can make it work. And I was like, nah, I'm done. Done with that controls. I don't even want to look at that page. I'm deleting it.
And then he came back, and all was good with the world.
No, the only reason I came back, and this is the very only reason, is what happened was I put it on in VR, so I got used to all the controls. I didn't realize they were the same. It was just the head look on VR. On the controller, you press your right stick, and then you can look around with the left stick. But in VR, you just look with your head and the windows pop up. And then when I realized the controls were the same, I'd already learned the controls without knowing. And then I could play it because I'd learned the controls already and I just didn't have the head look. And then I was like, man, cool.
And if he listened to me, he would never have had that problem.
Oh, man. Overwhelmed me with controls.
Oh, there you go. See, I was just about to say it. I asked Gray for help also. Just Gray, I want to know two things. And I ended up with four pages of spreadsheets and stuff.
No.
Oh my god.
Who thinks we keep bullying Gray? I'm the worst. But Gray does get me back every now and then. See, his mic didn't really mute itself earlier on.
Class just sticks up for me. And so do all the other people I've trained.
I owe him one.
I tell you what though, I'm being deadly serious. Gray does a lot in the community. Gray, cheers, dude. You do a lot. You do everything in the community. He's always got all of our backs with spreadsheets, videos. As much as we take the piss out of him, if he stopped doing it, we'd all get the ump. You know, Claxton, how many times have you gone, Gray, have you got a video on this?
So you lose either way, Gray.
What I thought was really funny is once and one time only, even Nick came to me and said, do you have something on this? I don't remember what it was, but I was like,
and then I waited for him to give
whoa,
it to me,
you're asking me? I thought that was funny. It was great.
But yeah, guess what, people? That brings us to the end of this podcast.
Oh, no.
It's gone a bit ropey today. It went a bit funny. I did change all of the cameras and that. I hope everybody prefers it like this.
I love it like this. I think it's great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I feel like you get to see more of us like this now. It seems more in-depth and personal.
That just sounds funny. We see more of us now.
I love the way Scooby's just put his final message in. So I'm going to read this out. It's good that you've done that, Scooby, because then I can read it out in your words. And he says, do you love the game Elite? If so, do you want a chance to win an Elite Fiend Sleeper build gaming PC that's held inside the very same computer that was used to create the original Elite game back in the 80s? If so, pop over to Extreme PC UK's Discord server and comment in the Scooby Room, and you could win. And there's the Discord. And if you're listening on the podcast back, all you got to do is jump on our Discord, go to extremepcuk.co.uk, and there'll be a big Discord button. Click it, and bang, you're there. And then all you got to do is go in Scooby Room. Scooby, will you be streaming the rest of the build or not? And if you are, what day will you be doing it, and how can people see you? Let me know quickly in the chat, and I can then read it out before we go. Is there anything else you lot would like to say?
A little song and dance while he's doing that. Only kidding. We do our dancing off camera when the music's on.
Yeah, I don't think many people will ever see it. So he said, yes, most likely he'll be live streaming on Saturday. If you are, Scoob, let me know, because I'm going to switch mine. I'm not going to stream, but we're going to be out at the pub and stuff, and it will just be a piss about stream. So if we are live, we probably won't do it as much. Or we might.
Well,
just
let me know, Scooby,
like,
and I'll push it, because I can't go to the pub. I'm over here in Florida.
Yeah, so you can push it out for you. But apart from that, that brings us to the end of the podcast. Stick around for the raid. What I'm going to be doing recently, because I'm playing a lot of Elite on stream, and I'm doing it in all the days where I'm free. So if you see me go live, it's normally around 11 o'clock in the morning till about 4. Some days I think we've streamed like super amounts. Everybody's welcome to get in my game in Elite. What we do is, even if you're not on voice, just come on onto the Discord, onto the Twitch stream. Just say, look, I'm up for playing. I'll friend you on there. You can come in. You don't have to talk. You don't have to get on the Discord if you don't want. And it's been really mad. We actually today had 8 people in 2 teams fighting in 1 zone. It was absolutely crazy. There's people firing lasers everywhere. And it was really, really fun to do. So keep an eye out for that. And you're all more than welcome to get into that. I need to talk to you as well about getting my stream points. I need to do stream points in Elite, and we need to work out something that we can do for the points. Okay. So we'll talk about that. But yeah, if you stay now and stick for the raid, you'll get 500 channel points, which you can use in my stream whenever you want to make me do silly things. So stick around. I'm going to raid somebody now. And yeah, cheers. Cheers for coming in. Cheers for all the subs. Cheers for all the follows. Cheers for all the bits. I really, really do appreciate it, because it really helps out with everything. And I'll see you all on the next one. Cheers, people. Cheers, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye. Take care.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart. In my heart, I have but one desire. And that one is you. No other here to me.